Hey there, and welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. We're so excited that you decided to join in with us today. Now, we're always inspired to hear how God is using Limitless Church to change lives. If you have a story to share of how God has used this ministry in your life, would you take a moment and send us an email at mystory@limitlesschurch.online. Now, you can also support this ministry financially. By doing so, you help us bring messages just like this one to you each and every single week. You can do that online at limitlesschurch.online/give. Now prepare your hearts to hear a word from God.
I'm here for that person today who's prayed and cried and prayed and cried. You fasted. You quoted every scripture about the topic. You stood on every word you could. You prayed, had an all-night shut-in in your own bedroom and prayed till the sun came up. You fasted for 10 days and it still looked like it wasn't going to move, and it still looked like it wasn't going to change, and it still looked like there was no answer. I came to speak to that person today because I came to tell you the greater the process, the greater the promise. And don't you quit in the middle of the brew. Don't you quit in the middle of the cooking, baby, because by the time it's over, everything God declared in your life is going to come to pass. The greater the process, the greater the value. You can give me two cars and you can pull them up right next to each other, and the value of that car is not based on the metal. The value of that car is not based on the leather that was used. The value of that car is based on the craftsmanship. It's based on the process it went to in order to be built. Oh, is anybody with me? Because the process determines the value. And if somebody's been in a process and it's taken you years and years and years and it looked like it wasn't going to happen, it's because the value of what is inside of you, the value of what God is going to do, is so great. He couldn't just do it in a cheap, instant way. It took some deep, deep handiwork of God in order to do what he's about to do in your life. Touch your neighbor and say, greater the process, the greater the promise. God will show you the promise and then take you through the process. Because by the time you get to the promise, after all the process, you will not give it up easily. Oh, no. See, that's for somebody in this room where you went through hell and high water, and suddenly God did what he said he would do in your life, and you all of a sudden show up in the brand new vehicle and you drive to church, and people know you've been through bankruptcy. People know you've been through three times when they came for your other car and the other car and the other car, and they're looking at you like, what you doing driving this car? Who'd you rob to get this car? And all of a sudden God answers your prayer and moves in your life. You need to roll the window down just long enough, oh God, in order to reach your head out and say, I went through the process. I went through the process. Touch your neighbor and say, I paid full price. I paid full price. I'm talking to somebody who's been paying the price. You've been paying the price. You've been paying the price. I came to declare to your life, it will be worth it all. Everything you've gone through, you're going to see every promise that God declared in your life. Woo! And so today, I want to begin to deal with the process of God, because the process of God is the thing that releases the promise of God. They come out of Egypt on eagle's wings. He brings them out overnight, loads them down with the goods of Egypt. They're walking out, can't hardly walk for the wealth of Egypt on their back. And he says, I'm taking you to a land of promise. And they come over on a Red Sea. When he brought them out, they didn't even have to get their feet wet. When he brought them across the Red Sea, the Bible says, and he brought them out on dry land. That means he blew all the sea completely back, but didn't just blow the sea back. He blew all the moisture out of the seed bed so they wouldn't even have to walk through mud to come to the other side. Oh, Lord, that's just amazing. I mean, there's some miracles that God gives you at your first stages that are not even necessary. But he gives them to you at that moment because he wants you to know how much he loves you. And he wants to prove how much God he is in your life. How many of you remember when you first got saved, God did some things just to show you how much he loves you, that you looked like, God, why'd you even do that? I don't know, you amaze me. It's because there's things that God does at the elementary stages of your development in order to prove and establish relationship of who he is to you. But all of a sudden, they come out of overnight through the Red Sea, but now starts a walk of a process through a wilderness. Because if there is no wilderness, there will be no promised land. You don't go from Egypt to promise without walking through a desert. And God is the God of desert training. God is the God where the desert doesn't, the desert's not to test you. The desert's not to see if he can trust you. The desert is to see, will you trust him? The desert is to see, when you get hot, will you believe me to be a cloud by day? Will you trust me that when you can't see in the middle of your night, that I'll be a fire? Will you trust me when you're so thirsty you don't even know what to do, that I'll be a tree that turns bitter water sweet for you to have? And before I let you starve to death, I'll let the kitchens of heaven open up. And I'll rain down fresh bread for you every morning. Will you trust me in the middle of the desert? And the wilderness is the process where he doesn't just prove you, he proves him to you. And he wants to know, in the middle of the process, do I still have your yes? When you get somewhere halfway between Egypt and the promise, that's where I want to know, do you know me? Because you said yes when you came out because I brought you out like that. And you said yes because you saw where I was taking you. But when you start walking towards where I promised I'd take you, and you no longer can see where you came from, and you're somewhere where you're too far to go back, but you're too far not to go forward. And you don't know where he is. And you're in the middle of the balance. Will you then still say yes? Will you still then keep walking through the process and trust me when you can't trace me? Will you trust me when it looks like I brought you out to forsake you? Because the yes is all he needs. Look at him and say, he just needs a yes. All he needs is your yes. And the yes sounds like it's easy until you start walking through what you said yes to. Look at him and say, your yes will cost you more than you think it does. And all he needs is a yes. See, all he needs is a yes because, see, it's not about your ability. It's about your availability. It's not about how smart you are, how great you are, how intelligent you are, how gifted you are, how strong you are, how determined you are. No, because, honey, life is going to send you something. Life is going to send you something that intelligence cannot answer. Life is going to send you something. Life is going to send you something that all the willpower and diligence you have will not be able to get through. Life is going to send you something where everything you can and have in your capacity and ability does not have the answer or know how to make it through this. And I'm a strong person, but this looks stronger than me because this thing came out of nowhere and it hit me in a place I didn't know how to get through. And at that moment, he's going to say, this ain't about your might. This ain't about your power. This is about my spirit. And at this point, your ability is no longer your crutch that you can lean on. Now you're going to have to trust something beyond yourself. And I just want to know, it's not how much ability you have, but are you available to me? And will you just say yes when it takes? something inside of you. Oh, hit your neighbor and say, does he have your yes? Does he say, son, all he needs. And the thing is, he doesn't need everybody to say yes. He always just needs somebody. He just needs somebody. And God has a way of using the people that are the most unlikely people. Because most of the likely people come with conditions. Oh, this is good right here. Look at him and say, do you have conditions that he needs to meet? Do you have conditions that, like when God calls you to do something, then all of a sudden you send God your rider? You send God your confirmation letter that lets God know, well, if I'm going to do this, I need somebody to go in advance and take all of the green M&Ms out of the bowl because I can't handle coming with green M&Ms. Because all of a sudden you put these conditions together like, yes, God, I'm going to do it. Is somebody there to take care of me? Is somebody there to be able to serve me? Is somebody there to be able to help me? Do they provide juice? Because we have all these conditions. Most of the qualified people come conditioned because their qualifications make them feel like they're entitled. And they've got this thing in them like, you know, I know my value. And so they'll come with, oh, it needs to have this, it needs to have that, it needs to have this, it needs to have the other. And God says, I will step right over qualified to find unqualified, to find somebody who just says, it's not my ability, but I'm yours. Oh, because I need to do something through some people that when I do it, there's no way they could get the glory. God uses unqualified people because unqualified people won't get prideful when he does what he's about to do. Unqualified people have been through enough to know it's not me. I don't even have this in me. See, I'm talking to somebody in this room that God speaks to you. How you know God's calling you is because it scares the death out of you. It scares the life out of you when you think about what he's called you to do and you look at who you are and the qualities you have and you say, God, I don't even have it in me. God, there's no way I can do this. And God says, that's why I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you because now when you get to where I'm taking you, there ain't going to be no way nobody can get the glory but me because they know you don't even have it in you to do this. And so, he says, all I need is your yes. Somebody say your yes. If you look through all the scripture from the beginning to the end of scripture, you will find God always used somebody who it was never about their ability. It was only about their yes. It was, will you say yes? See, I need this. We need this message because this is a world of no. This is a world where we've bred so much skepticism. We've bred so much cynicalness. We've bred so much of a pessimistic mindset because we've went through so much. We've seen so much mess. We've seen so much betrayal. We've seen so much hurt that our first response to everything is because we've seen hype. We've seen things that are built up only to disappoint. So we always look at things through lenses of skepticism and negativity. See, you can't get a miracle surrounded by you can't have it, you can't do it, people. Oh, somebody in this room, if there's anything you're going to get today, it's going to be today we're going to change your friends and family network. Oh, yeah, we're going to change your speed dial today. Oh, yeah. All them voices that come to you, and every time God gets ready to tell you to do something, and you took everything in you, but you finally say yes, and you call somebody and on the phone, and you say, you know what God told me to do? I'm going to do this for God. This is what God promised me to do. All them voices that on the other line say, well, how are you going to do it? Do you have the money? Who's there? Who showed up? Did anybody make it there? Who's it? Wait. I heard somebody was upset. I heard nobody liked you. I heard somebody was going to walk away from you. I heard this one. They bring you every negative, every problem, every situation. You need to cut them jokers loose. And you need to find find you some faith friends. Don't you never say find some faith friends. Find some faith friends. I don't care if they're not saved. I don't care if they're lost. I don't care if you got to call them and they're in the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. Find somebody that when God says something, says, yes, we can do that. Yes, you got it. I need some friends that when I'm down talking about getting up. I need some friends that when I feel like dying, they're talking about resurrection. I need some friends that when I feel like I'm sick, I call them on the phone and they start praying healing. I need some people that when I feel like I'm lost, they start talking about direction in God. I need some faith friends around me that know how to speak life in the middle of a situation that looks like it's killing me. Look at them and say, you need the right voices. Look at them and say, find you some yes men. Oh, yeah, find you some yes women. Oh, listen, see, it got quiet. You want to know why? It's because nobody likes to talk about having somebody that says yes. Because we think, we've been raised that you don't need yes men. You need people that show you how it really is. You need people that show you the reality of your situations, your problem, that nobody can really lead if all you got is yes men around you. Listen to me. I'm not telling you yes men that don't see issues and don't see problems. I'm talking about that when they see them, they think solution. They think resolution. They don't bring you the problem without bringing the answer because they're ready to answer every problem when they see it. Oh, tell somebody, see, you need some yes men. You need some yes men. You need some yes people in your life. You got enough negativity. You got enough no's. You got enough trying to tell you what you can't, what you won't. But God is the God of impossibility. God is a God who says, if you'll let me, I'll take 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. If you'll let me, I'll show you what's possible with what you don't think is enough. Whew. And so God is saying, can I get a yes? Can I get a yes? Can I get past all your hardness, all your lens of who's trying to get over you, on you, all the betrayal, all the deception you walk through that first says no? Because if you're not careful, what you've been through will speak a no before he even asks you for your yes. Because your first thought is no. But I declare your atmosphere is about to change. I declare you're about to get a yes atmosphere. I declare God's about to surround you with voices and influences in your life. Listen to me. Touch your neighbor next to you and say, you got to get some yes around you. You got to get an atmosphere that's filled with faith. You got to get an atmosphere that's not talking about why we can't. I need some atmosphere around you that's talking about how you can, how God is able, how God will, how nothing is impossible. Because where God's about to bring you is going to bring you into a place where it's not even possible with anything human, because that's the sign it's God. If it was possible with man, you wouldn't need God. There's a man that can do this. The sign that it's God is that it's impossible with man. That's the pre-qualifier for God things in your life, is that there's no way man can do this. That's why it takes God to do it. And I need you to say yes to a no. I need you to be able to speak to the things that are not until they become what God said they are. I need you to speak to your no's and say, no is not the answer I was looking for. I need you to speak to some impossibilities and say, I ain't stopping praying. I ain't stopping believing. I ain't stopping working until a no becomes God's yes. Ooh, somebody say yes. Oh, somebody say yes. I've been waiting to do that in this white church. We're not the only ones that ever had to say yes. You wouldn't even have an opportunity to say yes if he didn't. And from the time he was born, he knew what he said yes to. From the time he was born, he's amazing people
with who he is. They see destiny, greatness, anointing. At age 12, he's blowing people's minds. All the way to age 30, his ministry begins and starts. And from the beginning, he's miraculous. From the first miracle at the wedding at Cana, where they're bringing him water. And he looks and he says, it's not even my time yet. But he loves his mother so much. And not just his mother, but he sees the need. And God has a way of breaking rules when needed. God has a way of letting need override every other principle. Whew. See, because God moves on empty. Your car moves on full, but God moves on empty. Because empty is a sign that you really need me. That's why he says, he that hungers and thirsts shall be filled. He said, but he doesn't just say he that hungers and thirsts. He says, they that do hunger and thirst. It means it's not that you're just hungry, it's that you do hunger. That means hunger is not something you have. Hunger is something you do. Thirst is not something you have. Thirst is something you do. Because when you're really hungry, you'll do what hungry does. When you're really thirsty, see, some of us been some places in this world where we've seen real hunger. If you've never been out to the U.S., you ain't seen real. I'm not saying there ain't people hungry in the United States. There is. But I'm telling you, most of the time, they can find a snack somewhere. But we've been some places where hunger really, when you're really hungry, you don't have any pre-qualifications. When you're really hungry, you don't have any conditions. When you're really, really hungry, you don't get, real hunger takes prejudice out the door. Real hunger and real thirst, you don't start getting picky about who's bringing me my dish. But when you're really hungry, you're not checking underneath the linen to make sure there's no dust where you're about to eat. When you're really hungry, if they throw it on the floor, I will eat it. I don't care who serves it. I don't care if he's black, if he's white, if he's quiet, if he screams. I don't care who it is. If it's got the real goods, then I want it because I'm hungry. I'm hungry because God moves on empty. God waits till you do hunger because he needs need. God will not move where he's not needed. The question is not, do you need him? The question is, do you recognize the need? The question is not if you're hungry. The question is, are you doing hungry? The question is, will you recognize it? Because some of us like to have things in our life that mask our need. And there's things you can surround yourself with that make you look sufficient. Meanwhile, on the inside, you feel empty because nobody knows it, but they don't even understand how much you need him. Look at them say, I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. I'm here today not because I just want him, not just because I like him. I'm here because I need him. See, God wants to get in the position where you understand that no matter how much he blesses you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to need him the same way you did when you had nothing at all. You're going to need him to wake up and everybody take a deep breath. Yeah, you just needed God for that. Yeah. Without him, not another one's coming in your lungs. Without him, not another beat. Listen to me. We went in the hospital room with a 15-year-old boy who had cardiac arrest by just driving a bicycle and has never had a symptom a day in his life. You need God.
God, whether you know it or not. You need God to keep your heart ticking inside your chest. You need God to wake you up this morning. If you don't recognize him, it's all right, but he'll wait till you do. He'll wait till you know you need him. Ooh, somebody say, I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. He moves. He waits till he's needed. And all through, from the very beginning, it was moved by need. He was not moved and controlled by need of people. He was controlled by the need of the Father. That's too Sunday morning, and I don't have time. I got 4 minutes. But I could show you that he's never controlled by the needs of people. We always deal with people because we think God's about people. So we always bypass God to get to people. The church today has bypassed God because they think people are the harvest. They think if I get enough people, then God's pleased. But at the masters today, they got more people than we do. And it's not that God's upset with the master. He's just not going to start healing, delivering people at the masters unless we start praying over there. Well, let's pray over Augusta, Georgia right now. It's because gathering flesh ain't hard. It's another thing to gather a God who can change it. And so we need to get God before we get people. But when you get to the heart of God, you find the heart of God is beating for dying humanity. But don't try to get humanity and not get him. Because then you gather everything in the room but the answer. You gather everything in the room that pays the bills, but no purpose. Somebody say, I need him. And he says, from the beginning, from Cana, he's moving under the need of the Father. That's why he's able to go to Bethesda. That's why he's able to heal one man and walk away without any guilt or condemnation. Because it ain't about the people. If it was about the people, then he would have healed everybody at the pool. He heals one man, gets him up and walks away, and everybody's sick. Why? It's because he's my assignment. It's because I love people, but I'm not controlled by people. I'm controlled by the one who sent me. Because I'm here to meet needs. But only meeting their need, because him meeting their need is serving him. That means if the people walk away from me, I'm okay, because I didn't do this for them. I did this for him. And as long as he's here, oh God. See, God will let enough people walk away when you needed them the most, just to remind you who your source really is. And he says, from the beginning, he's moving, controlled by the Holy Spirit. And as he starts training these disciples, he starts teaching them. For 3.5 years, he's pouring into them, showing them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's pouring the goods into them. He's pouring, showing them miracles, signs, and wonders, teaching them all the things pertaining to the kingdom for 3.5 years. And suddenly, they come to the day of final examination. They come to the day of final examination. And he says, now, I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you what this thing is really, really all about. He said, but wait, after I do this, I'm going to demonstrate what it costs and what it takes. He showed them at dinner. And then suddenly he says, I need to go pray. And the Bible says that he brought them to the place called Gethsemane. He said, because it's almost the hour for my yes. The yes that every other yes led to. The yes that is the ultimate yes for everything God ever created me for. See, there's some yeses you said yes to because it was easier. But for the real destiny and purpose of your life,
it's always going to come with the greatest giant in your way. It's going to come with the greatest fear in your way. It's going to come with the greatest challenge to say yes to that looks like everything it takes within me is beyond me to say yes. And he says, I need you to come with me for this. Touch your neighbor and say, can you walk with me? Can you walk with me? Can you walk with me? He gets to Gethsemane and he begins to pray. Because everybody deals, and we're going to deal with this next week, all dealing with the cross and the pain that it took externally on the cross. But the greatest challenge for Jesus, as torturous as the cross, was not the cross. It was the yes in the garden. Because he's the God-man, and he's even wrestling with it. He's the God-man, and still everything in him is saying that price is too high. And yes, sounds easy until you see what yes costs. And he sits there and he kneels down to a stone. Watch this. And the Bible says that when he got to the garden, the 12 walked with him to the garden. But he said, you nine stay here. Peter, James, John, you come with me. Because I don't have time. There are times when God will bring a revival that looks reverse. There are times when revival, you think multitude. But sometimes God does a revival that brings three. Because for where God's taken you, not everybody can go with you. And you want everybody around to respect your decision and like you and respect what you're doing and the direction you're going. And you want everybody to be acceptable, and you're trying to make sure everybody's okay and not offended and everything's all right. And everybody come with me. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And these 12 come and he says, you nine stay here. Why? Watch this. Why could Peter, James, and John go to the garden is because it's the same reason why they were the only ones that could go on the mountain of transfiguration. If you don't know what the mountain of transfiguration is, let me just 1 minute summarize it. He comes to a place where he gives them a preliminary exposure to his glory and what it looks like when he takes off his flesh coat and he comes the God man. He reveals his glory to them. But when they got to the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible says after 6 days, he told the nine, stay here. Peter, James, and John, come with me, for you guys are going up on the mountain with me. And it's only Peter and James and John that he reveals his glory to them. That's the time, you know, when Peter became speechless, only time Peter ever had nothing to say. Is because there's a glory that can release in this room that the one that's talked the most will have to just bow before God. And suddenly, he shows his glory to them. Why did he show them the glory? It's because they're the same three that can go into the garden. Why? It's because he said, I want you to know me. But the writer of Paul said this, that I may know him. But the only way I can know him in the power of his resurrection is to know him in the fellowship of the suffering. That means if you can't walk with me in the garden, you can't go with me on the mountain.
That means the pre-qualifier to see my glory is, can you walk into a garden of agony with me? Because if you can't see me through my suffering days, don't come looking for me in the days of my glory. Oh, is anybody hearing me right now? Because this thing says, take up your cross, deny yourself, then you can follow me. I need you to be able to go through some suffering with me if you're going to reign and rule with me, because everybody wants the mountain, but not everybody's signing up for garden ministry.
And he says, Peter, James, and John, come with me. Watch, these three, he tries to bring these three with him, and when he brings them, he starts to pray. And he gets down. And he begins to say, God, is there any other way? Is there any other way that I can have the power without the price? Is there any other way I can have the crown without the cross? Is there any other way I can have the resurrection and get around the crucifixion? Is there any way I can live in the Spirit without nailing my flesh? See, because when you really begin to see the price, you'll go into negotiation. Because he starts asking questions. And don't act like you've never asked them either. God, why? Why do I have to go through this? Why is it that the more I'm serving you and the closer I get to my purposes, the harder it gets? Why is it the more and closer I feel like I get to you is the more difficult it's becoming until it's taking more from me and it seems like it's got less coming to me? God, why does I have to do it this way? There's easier ways to do this. Is there any other way? He prays. And he turns to the disciples and he says, the three disciples, he says, will you just watch with me? Watch this. He doesn't even have to ask them to pray. He's like, you don't have to go through this with me. I just need to know you're there. Just help me. Be with me while I go through this. Because if you've ever gone through, sometimes the greatest challenge is just keeping the people that were with you while you go through it. Because sometimes God has a way of using what you went through to wean what was with you. And he says, he comes out and finds them. And when he comes out after praying one time, he comes out and they're asleep. And he wakes them up and says, couldn't you just like stay awake for an hour? Sounds like most of our prayer services today. Like we used to be able to pray overnight shut-ins. Now if you pray for 30 minutes, somebody, you got to go wake them up. Because prayer is like NyQuil. And he wakes them up and he goes back to pray. And he prays again, God, is there any other way? He prays until agony becomes, the sweat becomes as great drops of blood. The medical condition that they say that if there's a certain level of extremity where blood will rush to the skin surface and suddenly it will replace what would normally be sweat, that the agony and stress that you're under literally begins to turn into blood coming out of your pores because of the stress level he was underneath. And he says, is there another way? And he goes back to pray. He goes back from praying and says, checks them again. They're still asleep. Three times he runs back and forth to say, will you just be with me? Because ain't it amazing that when you really start going through what God has you walk through, that no matter who's with you, you still feel alone. That there's times everybody can be calling you saying, I'm praying for you. But it feels like there's still some level of detachment. There's still something like they don't really, really, really know what this is feeling like on the inside. Because no matter what you're surrounded with, there's a moment in your suffering where it feels like you are completely isolated. No matter how much you have around you. And there's moments and times where you say, I feel like I'm alone and everything's gone to sleep on me. For the three times he prays, but on the third time, something breaks. And it's happening in this room right now. That's why you're sitting next to somebody and there are tears streaming down your cheeks. Because you don't even understand or know it when submission happens in someone's life. When suddenly they reach a breaking point called nevertheless. I'm going to try to do it every way possible, but I'm going to try to get around doing it where God's calling me and doing what everything God's saying to do, but nevertheless, I don't understand it. I don't know why you're telling me to do it. I see what you're telling me to do, and I don't even know how I'm going to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but I give you my yes. And when you get a yes inside of you, when God gets your yes, he walks outside of the garden and they're still sleeping. But this time, he doesn't wake them. Oh God. This time, when he walks out of the garden, he turns to them and says, sleep on. Oh God. Touch your neighbor next to you and say, sleep on, sleep on, sleep on, sleep on. See, when you get the real yes inside of you, you realize it wasn't about them. This was about you and God all the time. When you get the real yes inside of you, you can turn to the people that didn't help you, weren't there for you. You didn't feel the support around you, and you're okay with them because you realize, I don't need you to be my bridge over troubled water no more. I don't need you to be my ambulance anymore. I realize now God was using this to wean me from needing you more than him all the time. I realize he was just getting me to trust him to say yes. To be able to say, if none go with me, still I will follow. Sleep on. Hit somebody, say, sleep on, sleep on. Can't carry this cross for me anyway. I gotta do this myself. Stand with me all over this room right now. I feel God's glory in this place. I feel him in this room. I feel him in this. I'm telling you, I sense the glory of the Lord. God is speaking to somebody in this room. If I've ever felt him speak, he's speaking to somebody. Because he's asking for a yes from someone. He's asking for a yes from someone. He's asking for something. He's asking for you. He's asking for something that you're not entirely comfortable with. He's asking for something to obey him in a way that means leading you out of every comfort you've known. Leading you out of familiarity. Leading you out of things that have been your conveniences that you've always been accustomed to in your life. And God's calling you to say yes. That means a no to it. That means no. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this room. Lift your hands with me right now. But what you don't understand is that if you say yes to the cross, you just said yes to your resurrection. He just wants to know, will you say yes to the process, no matter what it requires, no matter what it takes? See, yes is always harder than you envisioned it after you say yes. That's why he was sitting around the table and said, somebody's going to betray me. And Peter looks and says, who? Peter says, I know one thing, it ain't me, Jesus. As long as I'm breathing, got a chest, beating my chest, as long as I got heartbeat, I'm going to be standing right beside you. Who dare betray you? Let me pull my sword, I'll get him. That's one thing, saying yes to the thoughts of the cross. It's another thing when he's hanging there and they're talking about killing whoever knows him. And all of a sudden, a little girl, a little handmaid, walks up to Peter and says, didn't I see you with? And he says, Jesus, who? Because it's easy to say yes on Palm Sunday. It's easy to say yes when they're shouting, Hosanna. It's another thing when the king's hanging there and they're coming for you. Will somebody still say yes? When your yes makes other people around you think you lost your mind. When your yes makes people who think they know your yes better than you tell you what you should do for yes and what you say you would do. When your yes costs it all. That's why he said, no man will find his life until he says yes. You can have. It's what you'll say yes to that you're willing to lose that lets you find and discover what he has that you could never have received. Lift your hands all over this place. I feel you're in this room. I don't know why, but the glory of the Lord is just telling me there's somebody in this place that he is asking something. And there's a wrestling match in you. Not because you don't want to obey him. It's just you know what obedience requires. And you're here and you say, I need God to help me. I want to receive the strength to say yes. I want to know that, I want him to know today that he has my yes, whatever it takes. He has my yes to what he's asking. He has my yes to laying whatever it means down. He has my yes, no matter who, no matter what, no matter what it takes, I still say yes. You say, that's me. I want you just to wave, lift your hand and just wave at me. Just wave at me. He's asking for a yes. He's asking for a yes. Yes, thank you. 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 There's somebody else God has me here for. It's because everything in you, life has tried to turn into a no. And you find yourself in a pessimistic mindset where you're trying to think critically, but it turns into cynically because you always view everything like it's got to be proven before you say yes. So you test everything. You try everything. You say no, 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 no until until they won't go away with your no, and then you know it's a yes. Until they pass the tests of your no. But God ain't here to pass your test. God is here to see if you will say yes to Him. He wants to know, will you say yes? There's some people in this room, God's going to speak to you, and you're going to begin to change the atmosphere in your life. You're going to begin to change from problem-thinking people around you to resolution people. To not... You're going to start losing no way people. And you're going to get find a way people. Because God's about to give you yes. We have a way of asking God for a lot. We have a way of when we think about God, we think about what we need that we need Him to say yes to. What you need to understand is that His yes is waiting on yours. It's not if He will, but will you?